Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
The Daily Item does this crap. This thing is coarse crap. You got to peel it off everything.
What are you saying here?
Daily Item puts this on the paper.
But the stickers.
All right, well, we're on the air, so we'll talk about it later. Greetings and welcome on board, everybody. This is WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, and Mr. Ben is a little wound up today with stickers.
Peel that damn sticker off my newspaper every
day. Oh, is that the ad sticker on the front of your paper? Yeah, Ben is saving all the stickers he ever received.
I am. I'm right here, Mark. I'm going to put them on the back of your car.
He's not going to patronize those customers or those businesses.
Well, no, there is a Sunbury Motors Company.
Oh, is it?
We will patronize them because they are the sponsor of On the Mark. And you drive a Sunbury Motor car, and I drive a Sunbury Motor car. And if you need transportation and have transportation needs, go to 4th Street in Sunbury. Go over to see Austin and Kia. And I will say this. If you see Austin, he can multitask. He has changed a tire in less than 20 minutes. That's out of the trunk.
20 minutes.
Onto the
That's not exactly a pit stop, but
no,
hey, we'll take it.
It's a pit stop, but it was also at 7:20 in the morning
okay.
On a Saturday.
All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Ben is right about that much. SunburyMotors.com is their address, web address. They would just love to talk with you. We're going to open up the phones in about 10 minutes, but in the meantime, you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OT. With that, we introduce our guest on the first part of the show. Greg Stuck is here, Snyder County attorney, running for magisterial district judge. We're going to talk to him about why he's running, lives in Snyder County, has an office in Northumberland, is where he's been based out of for a while. Been practicing law in our area, what are you saying, 40 years?
Is that 35.
35, Mark. Okay, sorry, I gave you an extra year or two there. But, yeah, so we've been acquainted. We've seen each other in the communities. I saw you in the park 35 years ago when you were with the Kiwanis in Northumberland pushing slushy ice, frozen shaved ice or something.
Pierogies, Mark.
Oh, is that
they
what it was?
Pierogies.
Doing the pierogi stand. That's why there was a vacancy in the pierogi stand a couple years later and they got me. Okay, running for magisterial district judge. Tell us all about yourself. I'm sure there's somebody over in Snyder County. This is Greg Hu. So please.
Sure. Mark, I was born here in Sunbury in 1963. My mom and dad are both from Northumberland and Point Township. My extended families, though, are from the area forever. You know, I get entertained when I see a lot of the Snyder County candidates saying a lifelong resident of Snyder County. I had relatives who were in the area here in Snyder County when the 1755 massacre occurred on Penns Creek. So on my mom's side of the family, it's the folks over at Furman Foods over in Point Township, and they've been here in the area since they came over with John Winthrop in 1690. So I'm a son of the Revolution on both sides of my family, and I ended up moving all over the place because of my dad's employment. He worked as a pharmacist for Ray and Derrick and then ultimately ended up a district manager, and I ended up going to high school out in Erie. But I came back here after school was over. I did my degrees at Penn State, and my law degree, my Juris Doctorate, is from the University of Pittsburgh. I came back and went to work for John Carpenter and Bob Deal here in Sunbury, and then subsequent to that, I went to work for Bob Sakavich and also for Jack Robinson in the district attorney's offices in Northumberland County and Snyder County. And that's sort of what brought me to where I am. After both of them moved on in their things, I ended up out on my own. And I've been representing folks and people here in the local area since 1996. And I am married to a wonderful woman who's been driving the bus when it comes to making sure I cross my T's and dot my I's. And Debbie really makes life worth living.
All right. So you're an attorney, and you don't have to be an attorney for magisterial district judge. Certainly hearing your ads and see you on the porches around here knocking on the doors, say you don't have to be, but that's an advantage.
Well, let's put it this way. A lot of people don't have a comprehension of what a magisterial district judge does. We have, as a judge, you have to make all kinds of legal decisions. And respectfully, going to a four-week class and then taking a test on that class is not going to make you cognizant of all of the things that an attorney would know that go into the actual administration of law. And something else that also seems to be lost on a couple of my opponents is they're out there singing the song and raising their hands and saying, I'm law enforcement. Well, quick civics lesson. Magisterial district judges are not a part of the executive branch. They don't enforce the law. They ensure the proper administration of the law. And that's what a judge is supposed to do. So I hope they get that somewhere along the line, because the idea is to be aware of the issues that get presented. One of the prime issues that most DJs have to work with is setting a bail. Bail is one of the most important things that a magisterial district judge does. And there are a lot of reasons behind the bail, but the primary reason is to ensure that the person shows up for court and nothing else. You know, there's
it's not punitive.
It's not supposed to be punitive. It's supposed to ensure that the person answers to whatever it is that they've been brought to court for.
Okay, and we have some magistrates around here who are attorneys and some who are not. Tell us a little bit more why you wish to be a magisterial district judge, please.
It's always been about service when it comes to the work that I've done throughout my legal career. I think the most rewarding work I did was when I was working in the district attorney's office. And back to the civics lesson, district attorneys and are the chief law enforcement officers in the respective area wherever their jurisdiction may be. And one of the things that the district attorneys do is they go out and make sure that they oversee the police and make sure that they're doing their job properly. And as far as that comprehension, I guess the only thing that makes this different is that my intention is to serve the people here in the Selins Grove area, and as the one who has the most experience in understanding what the legal issues are that would come before a judge, I guess the comparison would be, I've been a practicing attorney for 35 years. I graduated from law school in 1988, and all I can say is I bring a lot more to the table than my opponents simply by virtue of my wisdom and experience. I've been trained hard. When I worked in the district attorney's office, I had the benefit of a boss who let me participate in every potential training that the district attorneys or district attorneys association offered, and I've been trained in so many different things. I also had the opportunity to train with the state police in a number of their different interrogation seminars to teach you how to read the credibility of the folks who are in front of you. And respectfully, my kids had a real hard time when they were growing up because it was real easy to read them. You know, it was like, I know you're lying to me. Cut it out.
that's actually not fair.
Quick question. Challenges in the area. You got Jackson, Monroe, Penn Township, Selins Grove Borough. Within that, you have some growth, industry growth. You have a deteriorating mall. You have a university. And also, we still have some government entities at the state school. So it's a growing area residential, but we are getting some more, industry coming in. But with the university, are there any different challenges when you're around certain what you've seen over the years? Talking to different magistrates out west, there's some guys who are some friends I know of, and you know they're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, they have to look at somebody poaching. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing they get. But you're, you know, this is a little different seat down in this
area.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to start with where you started and give a shout out to the folks in Shamokin Dam, because you left them out of the equation.
I'm sorry, Shamokin Dam, yes.
And all I can say is, when it comes to what we're seeing right now, one of the things that, you know, the Valley's blessed by the fact that we're finally getting the infrastructure that we needed in the way of the roadway that's finally being done. I mean, I remember when I came back here from law school and they were doing the surveying. That was back in 1989. Mm-hmm. And then we went through the, it's a great idea, let's do it, and then it was approved, but then no money was ever allocated for it.
Well, we were hoping this would be the first Bud Schuster Highway.
Yes.
It just quite didn't work that way.
Well, you know, and then there was the Dan Flood Route 81.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the thing that we're going to see now, and although the roadway is going to be a blessing, one of the things that does is it makes us a much more open travel and commerce area for those who deal in illegal controlled substances. You're going to see people getting through here more quickly, and they're also going to be carrying things from place to place, and they will be using our area as their sort of turnstile because of the dissection of north and south and east and west that's coming through right here. And so that's something that a lot of it's going to be dealt with by the state police. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up having to increase their folks and people here in the local area to ensure what used to be called white line observation, to keep an eye on the dark-tinted windowed cars that are driving through at high rates of speed or extremely low rates of speed. Just depends on how careful they're being.
Yeah, with licenses that don't quite match the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Don't match the VIN number.
that too.
Yep.
Talking to Greg Stuck, he's an attorney and Snyder County resident running for magisterial district judge to replace the judge out on Route 522, John Reed, who is retiring. So he's on both ballots, right, for the Democrat and Republican?
Actually, that's an interesting point that you bring up, Mark, because each of us is actually a Republican who's cross-filed. No offense, but there were no Democratic candidates that came out the cross-file to be a Republican. We're all looking for the Republican nomination, and the reason why we are is because, frankly, in Snyder County, 98% of the time, the person who gets the Republican nomination ultimately moves forward and ends up becoming elected. And I want to make sure that the voters out there understand the distinct differences between myself and my opponents. I'm not going to name them specifically, but I am going to talk generically about their relative experience. Once again, I've been a licensed attorney practicing in the courts of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and not just here in the local area. I've been all over the state for the last 35 years. I've been in magisterial district judges' courtrooms. I've been in regular common pleas courtrooms. I've argued multiple times in front of the Superior Court of Pennsylvania, and I've also had the opportunity to argue a death penalty case in the matter of Commonwealth versus Robert Auker back in the 90s. And, you know, ultimately his case was affirmed, and he's, to the best of my knowledge, still sitting in jail somewhere in one of the state prisons. And I constantly run into family members of Lori Almond's family, and they still say thank you for the work that was done on that case. And it's one of the saddest things I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. I actually knew Lori Auker because my grandparents used to pick the Auker or the Almond children up and take them to church out at Trinity Lutheran out on
Ridge Road.
Ridge Road. Yes, thank you.
I don't know much, but I know where the Lutheran church is around here.
Have you been there?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been at that pulpit?
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Yep, it's the Knights Church, you could call it, too. Okay, so I'm going to open up the phones. If folks have a question for you, they can call in now, 570-743-9565. So the telephone number, that's 570-743-9565. You can also email us at onthemark@wkok.com, talking to Greg Stuck, and he is a candidate for magisterial district judge. Nuances of the office. Folks might not realize. I think there's a lot of subtleties within the cases. You talked about your law degree may help you sift through those. So that would be one aspect. I've been to hearings where the magistrate says, oh, I got to look this up, you know, and so maybe there'll be less looking up, potentially, anyway.
Well, ultimately, and I will say this, that's not just a product of things that occur in a magistrate's courtroom. There have been times when one of the things about the law is there are generally arguments that go both ways at any given moment in time. And on any given Sunday, you can find specific recitations of the law that say one thing, and you can also find something that says the exact opposite. And sometimes it does require whoever's sitting in the judge's seat to go take a look at it. And I see that on the common pleas bench also. Now, you don't see that in the Superior Court because ultimately they're the ones who tell you what the law is, whether you want to hear it or not whether sometimes.
Well, you keep your private practice if once you're in as magistrate.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I know a lot of my opponents are running around saying, it's a full-time job. I've talked to a number of magistrates, including folks who are now sitting on the common pleas bench who were magistrates, and I've been told specifically that it's a 2.5 to 3 day a week job. And even if it were I'll put it this way, the job will take whatever time it takes. And I learned that a long time ago. When it comes to my practice, if I sit down with somebody, you know, I might have an hour allocated to meet with them. But if what we're doing takes 2 or 3 hours, that's the time it takes. It's just one of those kind of things.
One of the things we're seeing, though, is that how do you distribute the law when you're looking at, I mean, I always think, you know, good people can make a bad mistake. You know, somebody bounces a check. Okay, bounced a check because the husband didn't do this or the wife didn't do this. So
don't look at me.
when you look about the second chances, or okay, the officer had to do this for this reason. Is there common sense leniency as a judge?
Oh, always. And one of the things that some of the rules of court permit, especially when they're financial issues, there are methods of settling matters that ultimately result in the dismissal of the charges upon proper economic satisfaction, provided there's been no violence that occurred. Mm-hmm. And, yep. You know, it's like somebody writes a bad check. Generally speaking, you know, the unfortunate and aggravating thing to the person who received the bad check is they've actually had to go through the process of complaining, yep, to get paid. And one of my experiences has been when I have a client that comes in and tells me something like that, we get a hold of the local police department and ask them to just make a simple phone call and warn the person that, hey, you know, if you don't take care of this, you're going to end up in front of a judge and you're going to end up with a lot more costs, fines, and fees. And, you know, when you go in on that given day for the hearing, if the defendant shows up with cash in hand, generally those tend to be the ultimate result that's appropriate, and you get rid of the thing. It doesn't belong in court.
Let's look at the big changer, I believe, within society, and I don't know judicially how this comes out because of precedent in the past not being around, but the fact of with social media and with technology now, that has to throw a curveball into somebody who's been a lawyer for 35 years just because it's new. And how do you, I mean, is it like spaghetti? It starts here and you don't know where it comes out?
Well, unfortunately, this is one of those things that I would love to lecture middle schoolers about sometime, because ultimately,
you know, middle school shows your mind of Mark's age, because
yeah,
we all know what middle school is.
Yeah. Well, the reason why they need to know is because as they get older, if they aren't warned, look, you know, you put this out there on social media, it's going to cost you.
I'm referring to, if you said junior high, I wouldn't know what you're talking about. And that, yeah, middle school sort of threw me a...
Oh. Well, you know, I'll put it this way. When I ended up going to school out in Erie, I graduated in a class of 750. So we had a high school, an intermediate high school, three different middle schools. You know, it was...
Your point being, what you put on the internet stays there for life.
Yep. And ultimately, you know, this is one of the things I end up advising my custody clients, especially. You know, don't ever put something in writing that you don't expect a judge to see. Because the minute you say something stupid, it's going to end up in court.
Or threatening or offensive or all kinds of things.
Yep.
Greg, we'll give you a closing argument why we should elect you magisterial district judge in Snyder County.
Experience counts. That would be the simple answer. And I've been an attorney for 35 years. I know what should or should not be in a courtroom. And if you're getting into comparisons and contrasts of my experience versus my opponents, the simple answer is 35 years versus a guy who's been practicing for 3.5 years. I've been around the block about 17 times more than he has. A sheriff's deputy who is ultimately a paper shuffler who has spent time standing in a courtroom watching what goes on there, who has taken a 4-week class and a test based on that class, and then a state constable who handles my local jurisdiction in Monroe 1. I don't have anything bad to say about the folks and people that I'm running against. They're all good people. But when it comes to the level of experience and their legal knowledge, unfortunately, the constable hasn't even bothered to take the class or the test yet. So at this moment in time, he's not in any way, shape, or form qualified to run for the office. So I'm just going to put it out there and say, please vote for me. I think I present the best opportunity for the proper administration of justice, not law enforcement, administration of justice. And I ask for your vote on May 16th for the primary. Thanks for listening.
And if you want more information, Greg Stuck for Magisterial District Judge is on Facebook. So you just put something up there yesterday, so we know it's out there. Greg, good luck. Thank you so much. Thanks for all you're doing. Keep in touch. And, good luck next
Mark,
week.
Mark, I want to put one thing in edgewise before we get done. You know, I heard a rumor that you might be retiring at the in the middle of the summer, and I just want the folks and people out there to know a little bit about you. Back in 1994, I had a fire in my house on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's right, a heater upstairs.
Huh? Yeah, well, it was one of those, you know, it's an old...
After one of your Christmas parties?
Well, no, it was... Actually, I was out visiting with Don Kratzer the night before. And
name dropper.
We were all out there hanging out there up above Viking Motors.
I was there.
And
we have to hit the break, but go ahead. You got 30 seconds.
Sure. Well, Mark, when I had the fire, you ended up calling the house, and you said, hey, you know, do you know what's going on Queen Street? And then you heard the fans running behind me, and you're like, oh my God, is it your house? And I'm like, yeah. And you were like, is there anything you need? And I said, yeah, I could actually use a piece of plywood to stick over the window that they just knocked out of the house. And 2 or 3 hours later, you showed up in your pickup with your tool belt and a piece of plywood. Jeez. We took it up there, and you screwed it in over the opening. And, Mark, thank you. And
I still want that 4x8 sheet back.
I think that thing is long gone.
All right. Thank you so much, Greg. Thanks for coming in.
Yep.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Wow.
All right. Good times, buddy.
I guess it was.
All right.
You know what they say about the 60s. You remember the 60s.
I do not remember.
You didn't
the
live the 60s.
I was so, 10.
So if you remember the 90s, you might not have lived the 90s then.
Okay.
I mean, I can say, boy, I hate to say,
I remember
frequent flyer miles all over the country, doing commerce. Let's see, getting Governor Ridge elected, Rick Santorum elected,
well,
Russ Fairchild elected,
didn't you?
McGovern back
McGovern,
in 72. George McGovern, 1972. And then George McGovern went on to own a bed and breakfast, I believe, in Connecticut, and was ultimately confused on why it was so hard to run a business and made a statement, I'm paraphrasing, if I knew it was this hard with government regulations, I might have changed some things when I was a senator.
Wow.
But anyway.
You would have liked that.
Well, even progressives or Democrats realize that commerce and profits mean something.
All right.
Sometimes.
We had a good attorney here earlier. Next up, Dan Muser at 9:30 this morning, the congressman.
Talking
about the Secure the Border Act that was passed in the House yesterday. I guess uncertain future. Well, I guess it's some folks say it's dead on arrival in the Senate. But honestly, it does address some of the things that we'd like to talk about when it comes to immigration. And Democrats say it messes up the asylum. So.
It's Woodstock down there. It's a free concert. No tickets.
Right. So
just come across and listen to The Who and Jimi Hendrix and
talk to him about the debt ceiling and President DeSantis and Governor Trump. Well, that's backwards. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Good
greetings.
Morning.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. We'll have Congressman Muser on the line at 9:30 this morning. We'll have Ben Reichle on the line
Let me get
right
plugged
now.
In.
You getting plugged in?
Yeah, a little reverb, a little Jimi Hendrix reverb coming there.
Not quite that bad. You're not going to do the Star Spangled Banner for us, are you?
No, but I would sing Wild Thing.
I'm not sure we need it,
okay.
But we'll move on. Can you sing? Are you a singer?
Oh, shoot.
Like church choir singing?
I do great lip syncing in church.
Oh, lip syncing. Okay,
no, hold on. What the most, I mean, I will say at Sharon Lutheran Church, there is some of the best singers around me, very, very well. They do very well. So all I need to do is lip sync and stay out of their way.
Okay. Yeah, I just heard a great.
But I do say amen and God be with you every now and then.
Okay. All right. Well, good for you. I was just out at, where did I hear a great choir? I forget the name of the church. In Freeburg mm-hmm. Lutheran Church, we'll call it. But the choir, they have almost a dozen people in the choir, just a ridiculously talented choir director. It was great to hear
a Freeburg,
great choir
a great
again.
Community in Snyder County, rich, rich in history, had probably, if not the best, one of the best two restaurants ever in Snyder County. I would say the Empire Hotel and Ted's Landing were neck and neck, neck and neck for years.
All right. And if you need a chiropractor in Freeburg, the choir director will take care of you. She does both out there.
Reggie Hummel. I believe it's her maiden name, Reggie, and her married name is Hummel.
Right. Okay. So you know who she is. Fantastic. Okay. So, folks, so we got open phones. We got the phones lit up. So let me do the very brief news headlines here. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. These folks have called 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. COVID-19 numbers went up statewide. The state says there were almost 2,000 COVID-19 cases in the past week. That's 164 more than the week before, and there were fewer cases in our area. Local numbers down about 9 from the week before. We had 27 COVID-19 cases around here.
What version are we on?
One Snyder County death. Well, Omicron.
Omicron 52?
I don't know. We're up to Tau, T-A-U.
Oh, okay.
I guess. I know I'm making that up.
Is that Mousy Tau?
No. Anyways, Penn Live reporting a third person now has admitted participating in that 2020 beating death of Richard Jameson III in the Watsontown area. His body was buried up in that area. Judge Rosini accepted a plea from Dorothy Hoffman. She's already accepted pleas from Thomas Hoffman and the nephew, Caden Koser, who were in on the homicide and the burial of an individual. Now on to Washington, D.C. Homeland Security says it's ready to humanely process and remove people without a legal basis to be in the U.S. as Title 42 has expired. And here is a report.
I'm Tom Foti. Migrants have been rushing across the border from Mexico ahead of the rule change at the Tijuana River Valley in Texas.
They're stuck in between what is known as the enforcement zone, which is in the United States, and they're waiting to be picked up by the Border Patrol to be processed.
Pedro Rios of America Friends Services Committee. The fear is the big recent increase in asylum-seeking migrants further strains the nation's immigration system. A Biden plan to release migrants more quickly under that strain is now on hold on a late Thursday night order from a federal judge in Florida. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
And I'm sorry to announce this if you haven't already heard. Are you sitting down?
Hope so.
Bobby died. Bobby Spencer. From General Hospital?
Oh, boy.
Come on. Jackie Zeman. I fell in love with her probably when 1982 when I was in college. I went, did you ever go through a General Hospital phase?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You haven't lived. Isn't that funny?
No. Days of Our Lives. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, General Hospital.
Yeah, General Hospital. Yeah.
Actually, here is the sad part about soap operas in the male world of college.
Okay.
We actually would stay and either finish the Pinochle game or finish watching Days of Our Lives and give up a little bit of class time.
Mm-hmm.
But we always went back to the professor to get the notes to make it up.
Right. Stan, did you ever go through a soap opera phase?
I used to watch a little bit of Days of Our Lives before I went to work.
See, right there, Stan. That was the soap opera of soap opera. General Hospital was for you, that was the fad.
It's for progressives.
Yeah, that was the fad one. Everyone said they were General Hospital, but Days of Our Lives was the real meat and potatoes of soap operas.
Okay. Speaking of COVID, then you asked what variant this is. It's a 2024 election variant.
sounds as legitimate as
that. That sounds like an ailment.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing a local doctor did tell me is that he does not understand why they're testing for COVID anymore, meaning that what are you testing for? What variant is this? Because we are now below flu level. We're below whooping cough level. So it would be interesting to get a real medical perspective on where the Sam Hill are we at with this COVID stuff, because, again, you've hit probably the nail on the head saying it's a political football and it's 2024. That would be probably as legitimate as anything.
Yeah, so that's not why I called, though. So today the illegals are flooding our border, and Mr. Mayorkas says that they've expanded legal pathways. Since when does Homeland Security and the Biden administration write new law, immigration law?
Well, they get to implement the policies as they see fit, and they have done a half a dozen things
changed
the situation 1%.
Mark,
yes,
is there anything in law that allows illegals to come in and make it a legal pathway? There's one way for people to immigrate here, correct? You go to the embassy in that country and you fill out the paperwork, you apply and you wait.
Well,
you don't just come storming across the border because some leftist in this country went down there and says, if you say this word, that word, and these other words, we will give you asylum. They'll give you asylum.
Well, you do now, Stan. I mean,
as I said, when did Homeland Security and the Biden administration get the power to write new laws?
Because, as Mark said, because they can, and they're doing it. And here's the other part about it is, please, some of the progressives around here listening, call up and tell us why this is a positive thing for the U.S., because if you've been to the border and you understand the border, and our good friend down in Texas, Larry G., if he's listening, please tell us. It is now becoming to the point where people are throwing their hands up. And the worst thing the Biden administration can do is say we're sending Army, National Guards, military of some sort down and not have them perform the duties they're supposed to. All they're doing is they're helping with paperwork and some of this logistics, which is just, if I can use the word, Mark, asinine and insane. So you want to talk about AI, artificial intelligence coming out of the White House?
Artificial intelligence.
Well, AI stands for asinine and insane, and that's what our border policy is. And we'll talk to Congressman Muser, and we'll talk to him about AI.
Well, wait a minute. They did put Harris in charge of AI, so, okay. That makes sense, Ben.
What? Well, anyway. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with you. I certainly think that this has got to be addressed. And unfortunately, the bulk of the country doesn't seem to care. But for the
bulk of the country does care, Mark,
in a bigger way.
Okay,
New York's
we'll
having problems. Chicago. Hold it. The mayor of Chicago, who's been booted out and is still there until she officially gets booted out, is complaining about 48 people being sent there. There's 48 people every 2 minutes and 32 seconds that come across the border. Yeah. So go down to those communities. Mark, you own a ranch. Stan, you own a ranch on the border there. You're getting overrun. What's going on in Mexico? And then, you know what? All these passionate people, please call in. Tell us how passionate you are for these people to make the trip, for them to be sexually assaulted, to them to be trafficked, and to them to be either child labor or under the table labor. So, again, Mark, AI.
Well, first of all, it's too little too late. The Biden administration says that, and they are actually implementing two or three cursory things that are going to make a half a percentage difference down there. And so they're doing that. And, I mean, it's definitely going to change things a tiny bit, but, you know, it's standard would be like you going down to the river with a bucket and say, oh my gosh, we got to stop all the water from getting to Sunbury. You know, it's just not going to do anything. And
that'd
it doesn't do
like,
anything for the people
like
already
bailing
here.
Bailing water in a river.
So it just doesn't, and it wouldn't do anything for the
but
people
why
that are
is it,
already
what,
here.
Can the Biden administration say why this is good for America?
I don't think so. We opened up that question last week. I don't think we did get an answer.
Well, KPJ is there trying to figure things out, and, I mean, the poor young lady is more like a hamster on the wheel just running around than she is answering a question. She makes word salad. I mean, she takes a salad and makes it coleslaw. That's how her word salads turn out. It's that bad. But,
that
but
insults
why,
good cooks, though.
Yeah, and why is this good for America? You know what it's taxing? It's taxing every aspect. And the people who need the money, the people who are in poverty that need the money, the people who need housing. I mean, Stan, do you think it's a good thing that we have homeless in every major city?
Stan, we got to hit the road. We'll give you the last word, though. Go, please. Go right ahead.
Well, I want local commissioners. I have a question for the local commissioners running for office, okay, and the candidates. What are they going to do when the federal government brings these people here
exactly.
and demand that the local areas put them in schools?
Well,
build housing for them.
Yeah, ask the,
and take care of them.
Ask the
That's
superintendents.
What I
want to
know.
Ask the superintendents when 200 show up, 300 show up, 400 show up. What are you going to do in your classrooms? And then parents, what are you going to do when your education gets diluted because you have students in your children's classrooms that do not speak the language, and all of a sudden they have to start teaching you that? This is all part of the 13 Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky, break it from the inside. Well, break it from the inside, and the nation will fall.
We got to hit the road, Stan. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Yep. Thank
well,
you so
remember,
much for
my orcas did say they've been working on this plan for over a year now. Said it on the news. I heard it. So the plan is to destroy America, not help. And now you all have a great day.
Yeah, that doesn't help. That's not very reassuring.
Glad it's
all right.
Friday.
Bobby D., you're on the mark.
Yes. I'm going to say good morning to everyone. You know, in listening, you know, to the broadcast earlier about the magistrate and the, you know, and all that as far as their responsibilities, I say every portion of the law has their jurisdictions. And so, I mean, the magistrate has to know it's not just a regular, you know, like a police officer and this showing up and that showing up. I mean, that district magistrate has a lot of responsibility and a lot of ends you know, to bring together. So it's not just a regular job, it's a responsibility.
I gotcha. Okay, yeah, it certainly is multifaceted. No argument there. All right, thank you, sir. Thanks for checking in.
All right, thank you.
Much appreciated. All right, Joseph, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead.
Yes, your first caller is right on. I was listening to the interview between Sagan and Guthrie and Alejandro Mayorga. And he said, we had this plan, Savannah asked him, you know, you had 2 years to plan for this. Yes, he said, we have a plan in force for over a year and a half. It's working, and you're going to see that it's going to continue to work. Well, for 2 years, I've seen the border go worse and worse and worse, okay? And he also said, well, the problem is Congress. They have to do something. Our border laws have been broken for decades. Baloney. It's just like gun laws. You have laws against shooting people. You have laws against arson. You have laws against criminals hurting people, and they let them go free. The laws don't mean nothing unless you enforce them. President Trump did something. He put up a border wall as far as he could. He fought tooth and nail to get that up, what he got up over all these Democrats. He had to stay in Mexico, okay, until you get your paperwork and all that done. All that, Biden, when he first got in, executive order number one, we canceled the border law. Executive order number two, no more stay in Mexico. You're welcome. In other words, he said to the people, this is crazy.
And Joseph, use your wildest imagination. Why have a border that's so porous?
Well, they're not enforcing it. They have razor wire that they showed put up, but they're walking around it. So what you have, you got to order your border agents or send the National Guard down there and say, hey, these people, you personally push them back in these wetbacks, put them back in the river, and let them go back over. They come across, they can go back over. They're not allowed to come in unless they do it lawfully.
All right.
That's all you have to do is enforce it.
Any idea why they would want a porous border? What's the advantage?
Well, it's all part of the New World Order. No borders. It's just like Europe did.
I gotcha.
You don't have a passport. Have to have a passport going one country to another, or anything like that. The borders have been breaking down. It's a New World Order, a one world government system.
All right,
we're under one superpower. And that's going to be, of course, what they call the Antichrist. But nonetheless, President Trump, if you were, like Joe said a lot of times, I really like President Trump's policies, but his personal life, I don't care much for. I understand that. I'll give you an example of this. King David. Yahweh loved King David. He's a man after my own heart. But his personal life, he lusted after another man's wife, Bathsheba, Uriah's wife.
I got to stop you there. We're not going to get into religion.
President Trump may be an immoral person, but his policies were on the mark.
Spot on.
Democrats fought him tooth and nail to do away with his policies, and now you see the fruit of their labors.
All right, we got you, Joseph. Thank you so much for calling in. Always good to hear from you, sir. Much appreciated. All right, we'll take a quickie break. We'll be right back. We got callers lined up talking about the U.S.-Mexico border.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back. All right, we got three callers lined up, and Congressman Muser is going to be number four at 9:30. So some of our good callers are going to have to wait a tiny bit. But Cindy is next in line. You get in here. You get asylum on the mark in the right order. Mm. Cindy, go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, there have been quite a few people who have postulated that the easiest way to get change that people do not want through is to act in a crisis. And I believe that the Biden administration has created this crisis at the border quite deliberately
in an effort
to force through the change to the immigration system that they want. They have done this deliberately.
Okay. Yeah, and they don't let a crisis go to waste. They've created it. They've upgraded it. And also, too, they've put their hands up in the air and go, what can we do? We got to give everybody amnesty.
Right, and they keep... Right, that's exactly right. And, Mark, you ask why. Why do they do this? Well, I think there are several reasons, but one in particular, I've noticed that on PBS and some other channels, there's been a lot about the Holocaust. And what they see is the failure of the United States in that situation to admit, as in to allow in, all these Jews from refugees from Europe at the time that the Holocaust was coming, right? And during the Holocaust.
Okay.
They refused to allow a great deal of immigration into this country, and as a consequence, those people were stuck in Europe, and therefore they were in many cases killed.
Oh.
And they have a sense of guilt about it.
We'll never do that again.
So their response to this is this overwhelming open-door policy, regardless of the consequences to the country. They've closed their eyes and their ears and their thinking to what this means to the average American who has to deal with this flood of immigrants. And what's different about it? Well, when the Irish came, when those people, when the Jewish people and the Hungarian people, et cetera, came, there wasn't this massive social network program funded by the government. There just was not. We didn't have Social Security. We didn't have Medicare. We didn't have these massive food programs, et cetera, et cetera. All of that has grown up since then. So when you let all those people in before, they had to work to survive. But you let them all in now, and they get on these massive programs, housing, food service, education, and on, and are able to be. In fact, they tell us that we have a moral obligation to provide all these services to all of these people. That's what's going on.
Listen, all right, and they'll vote Democrat, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, remember the Democratic Party and others within the Democratic Party, and a little bit Republican, but there's a group that needs a sub-underclass that needs the government, and they need the government because then they'll vote for the government and those people will be in power. And there's a lot of government workers that are in that group, too. But remember, there is a business of poverty. Jesse Jackson, Sharpton, look at the poverty pimps. They're out there, and there's more of them coming. So the business of that, just like the business of education. You have this Weingart running around. She doesn't know to wind her watch or to go to the bathroom anymore, and she's trying to reverse things. The sad thing about the public education and the teachers' union is the teachers' union is more about employing adults than educating children. But look at the poverty. Look at the money that goes into the poverty bucket. It is so deep, and there's so much of it. If you get X of a percent, you've done well. And that's where the poverty pimps and those people come through.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much, Cindy. Larry, you are next up on the mark. Go right ahead.
Well, good morning, fellas. Still listening.
Good morning, Larry. Are you in Harris County?
You pushed the button today.
Larry.
One more time.
Larry.
This thing down here with the illegals is, I think the reality is the unless you live down here, you don't really see it. I'll give you some numbers. For example, this week alone, the illegals crossing the border, it's 10,000 a day. 10,000 a day. The total of illegals currently residing in Texas, 1.7 million. Okay? The total number that has come across is now so far over 2 million that it's easiest to say to you, they're coming to your neighborhood next because it's just unbelievable. There's a bus stop probably about 5 miles from my home, and it's gone from maybe two buses a day coming out of the valley that come up here, and they're Hispanic bus lines, and they're now running all over the United States, and we're up to about 12 buses a day.
All right, Larry G., can you stand by? We got Congressman Muser on the line. You'll be able to hear his remarks, and we'll talk to him, and then we'll come back to you. Can you hold on and listen?
Sure can.
Yeah, and,
all right,
and Larry, so, we need. Are you in Harris County?
We'll have to get Larry in a minute. But Dan, Congressman Muser, good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Mark, good morning.
Thanks for calling in. 9th District U.S. Congressman, based out of Luzerne County. Secure the Border Act, H.R. 2, dead in the water. The U.S. Senate said somebody overnight, I forget about who it was. It didn't Mayorkas just yesterday call for a piece of legislation? Says Congress is supposed to do its job. I think some Republicans did so yesterday, but Mayorkas says, nope, dead in the water. Not that. Do something else. I guess your observations on all of this overnight.
Well, Mayorkas is a, and I'm not going to really mince words here because we've been experiencing the horror at the border, and Mayorkas just doesn't make, more than make excuses for it. He enables it. Apparently they want this to happen. He's an evil little man, and he lies. And the border is an absolute catastrophe, one of the most significant catastrophes perhaps to face our nation, as well as those who are trying to cross. It's a catastrophe for them because they're coming over by false pretense. They're being brought in and paying cartels to get them across the border. They're being asked to take drugs and human trafficking taking place. So it's really an absolutely agonizing, more than frustrating, it's just building anger. And you see it. You see it in people like Ted Cruz. You see it in my colleagues. Look, H.R. 2 is a solution, period. If they don't like all of it, too bad. It's a solution. Pull something out. Come up with an alternative plan. The Democrats and the Biden administration have come up with nothing, and they're allowing this death and chaos and cost to continue. They all ought to be absolutely ashamed of themselves, and frankly, anyone who didn't vote for this, which was every Democrat in the House for H.R. 2, ought to be ashamed of themselves. They should be voted out of office because they voted for, by voting no, they voted for the status quo, and they had no other answer to it other than the nonsensical comment of, we need comprehensive immigration reform. You know, I will say this to you, Mark, and to your listeners. If voters ever hear me state a completely inane, meaningless talking point over and over, just for the sake of obfuscating the situation, they should immediately vote me out of office.
All right, and I think part of this is the asylum aspect, and you had said, well, okay, so carve that out or negotiate it out or change it. It seems to me that H.R. 2 could turn into something that could evolve into comprehensive, but they say dead in the water, so that's not going to happen.
Oh, of course, and it is. Look, pre-Biden, we had less than 1,000 illegal crossings a day. In 2020, it was 500 a day. Okay, so about 200,000 a year in 2019, it was pre-COVID, it was 400,000 a year. We now have over 3 million and hundreds of thousands of gotaways. I mean, it's completely out of control. Now they've lifted Title 42, which could actually double it. It's probably going to go up by 50%. So that means the level of hardship, the level of rape, Mark, one-third of the women coming across are reportedly raped. Okay, I hesitated to use that word over time in trying to, but that's those are the facts. Death, cartels, drugs, over 300 Americans dying a year from the drugs, largely coming from not port of entry, over the illegal crossing at the border, human trafficking. I mean, you know, the list goes on. And so, you know, we have the answer here. It's remain in Mexico. It's stricter asylum laws. I mean, right now people are coming across. They're being told by the cartels or the coyotes or however they refer to themselves, mules. And all somebody has to do is say, I'm in fear for my life from my government. I ask for asylum in the U.S. They come in and say that. we give them catch and release, goodbye, go into society, and, oh, by the way, we're going to call you back in 2 years if we can find you for an adjudication process. It's beyond nonsensical. And my biggest fear is, you know, as well, we want more CBP agents. We want to fortify the border. I've been to the border a few times. It's real simple. CBP will say, look, we need to patrol here. We're standing here because you're here to view the escalation and the continued stream of illegals crossing. But over there by the wall, we don't have to patrol that area. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's breathtaking. And so we're looking to make the asylum laws stricter. So, and we're going to go after the cartels. We should have declared war on the cartels a year ago. I said this right to Mayorkas' face as he looked at me with that blank stare, and he actually wrote it down. I don't know what he did with it afterwards. I don't think you need to write down let's go to war with the cartels. These guys are inept. They're damaging our country, and the biggest fear is it's not going to be corrected until we get the Biden administration and the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Yeah. Dan, Ben Reichle here. One of the things we talked earlier about, we have a gentleman who's still holding, who lives in Texas, but earlier we talked about create the chaos, make the chaos to the point where you throw your hands up and the government says, you know, we can't do anything about it, we have to do whatever immigration. I mean, the problem is Reagan did it back in the 80s in good conscience, and we never sealed the border. So Trump comes in, he does the practical stuff that a country would do in sealing their borders. But part of the other is the negotiations with Mexico, Central America, and these countries. And when we look at that, where you guys have been on, and in HR2, you start to address some of that, what I've seen in some of the pieces of it. But the other part is, why is our immigration overall system so broken? Have we just let it go so far, and now the southern border? But we're talking about the babies, people coming in having babies, so their babies are American citizens. But our whole immigration system is just upside down, sideways, and so many gaps in it.
Well, not really. I mean, you know, under President Trump, we had it down to, as I said, less than 1,000 a day, nearly 500 a day. But you need a secure border. You need CBP to properly vet people coming through. And the word needs to be out that there's a disincentive to you're just, you know, they're told that under false pretense that you come to the United States, you're going to get a free house, you're going to get free food, you're going to get, you know, you'll get work if you want it. This is the storyline on coming to America. So if we're shipping them back, they're not going to pay their life savings of $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, which is what they pay the cartels to help them get across. If they know they're not going to, if they're going to be sent back. Even Obama handled that so much better. I mean, we just simply need to have a secure border. Yeah, let's have the extended 3-year visas for the H-2A programs, even the H-2B. Look, we have over 2 million at this point legal citizens, legal entries to our country, far more than that for work visas. That sure, let's work on all that. And what you're talking about with the DACA and the Dreamers Act, that's really insignificant as well. We will do that. President Trump offered that to Nancy Pelosi. He said, give me, at the time, just when I came into Congress, $5.6 billion for the border barrier, i.e. wall, and we will negotiate the Dreamers. Nancy Pelosi wanted the issue. This was in January of 2019. I remember it very well, and sent us into a government shutdown over $5.6 billion, and that would have been taken care of. Yeah. You know what? They want the issue, and if they want to debate me on it, let's have that debate.
But Dan, has the southern border, when you know it has gotten to an extreme, when the southern border problems down there, you start seeing it trickling in at the northern border. So when they know that they can get through the southern border, but it's almost easier now to come to Canada and try to get them down. So you know it's out of control when you're seeing that little bit happening up north. But again, the other part is you just said it. Nancy Pelosi didn't want to solve the problem because the problem plays into their narrative, and now we're seeing sort of the collapse of the southern border over the next probably, what, 2 weeks, month, six months? We'll see it that bad.
That's right. Collapse is a good word, and you're right. The northern border is being infiltrated more. They caught a couple of people that were on the terrorist watch list. How many on the terrorist watch list haven't we caught? Because the gotaways, you know, by the way, they use this word gotaways, or the gotaways, over a million gotaways. These are the bad ones. These are the ones who aren't coming in. These are people with criminal records. These are those coming in with drugs. You know, they just happen to catch them on the surveillance. And you know why? Because CBP is spending all its time processing under the enforcement of Mayorkas and the Biden administration, processing people for delivery in different parts of the country, as opposed to keeping our border closed, and as opposed to doing their job of border security.
Congressman,
that's a portion that's upside down.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Very much appreciated. Stop by and visit us sometime. Sir, you're up in our neck of the woods. We'll talk to you again up in our area. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, best of Shelley and the family.
I appreciate you guys very much. Thanks for having me on. I hope I didn't get too fiery about this issue.
You should. And
well,
Dan,
it's a big dilemma.
And other people should, and some Democrats need to get fired up. Gonzalez, the guys in Texas understand it because it affects them. But, no, this is a national security issue, and there's, what, 150 countries representative in these illegal crossings. It's not just Mexicans or Central Americans. This is, and Dan, I said this to Mark earlier, you know, we talk about AI. Well, I think the Biden administration's policy on the border is AI. It's asinine and insane.
Funny. All right. Thank you, Congressman.
Like
much appreciated.
All right. Have a great week, guys. Thank you very much.
Congressman Dan Muser, 9th District out of Dallas, PA. Larry, we're going to wrap up your call, and then we'll take the break, and then we got another caller set to go. I guess the rest of the nation just doesn't seem to see this as being a huge national crisis. But you see it there. You live it. You know that it's real.
Well, I can tell you, the congressman hit it. I mean, that was a grand slam home run he just gave you. He hit it right down the park. It's going to affect this whole country, and then they're going to see it, and it's going to be too late. You know, I watched the report yesterday. I'm pretty active in business throughout Texas, well, throughout the whole United States, but here in Texas, I have a business associate in El Paso that now has to have a person standing guard on his home property to keep people from relieving themselves on his property. The city, I don't know if you knew this, the city of El Paso is under a state of emergency. It's that bad over there this morning. And if you're talking about tens of thousands, 10,000 a day, every day this week, before last night, I can't imagine what it's going to be this morning. And, you know, when you watched Mayorkas yesterday, and they kept panning the TV, all the networks that did it panned, you could see the people standing behind him, and he's saying, there's not a problem. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take, other than I don't know about up there. I keep plugged in up there daily, but I'm not sure. But like the other day, they found a guy headed out of Texas with 97 pounds of fentanyl. Now think about that, fellas. I mean, you could wipe out a major city.
Right, what's that? Right, Larry, we got to hit the road, but we'll give you the last word. Anything to add? We always appreciate your perspective down there in the reality.
Guys, just stay alert on this. Stay alert, because it's bigger than what the media is letting us know.
Well, oh, my gosh, exactly. Okay.
And, Larry, are you in Harris County by chance?
I'm right next door to it. Yes, sir. I'm okay. I do a lot of work in Harris County.
You down in Sugarland?
I'm 7 miles from Sugarland.
One of the greatest high school football players in this country came from Sugarland.
All right.
Yep. Great football down here. Come on down.
I lived in Lubbock for a couple of years. That's a long way from you.
It is.
Right,
guys,
got
it's
you,
always great. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks,
stay blessed.
Thank you so much. Larry G. from Texas lived in our area, moved to Texas. We're going to take a quickie break to stay on schedule. We got a caller who's waited 23 minutes. He's coming right on the radio. All right. Okay, you'll have to help me out here. Sugarland Express, please.
Ken Hall. 17 national records. A phenomenal, phenomenal high school football player.
Played for?
Sugarland, Texas.
And?
And then went to the New York Titans, which then went the Jets, the Houston Oilers.
You're
and
asking
played in the
wrong
Canadian,
guy if that had a question
you know,
mark
Canadian
in it.
Football League. But Matt Cotrillo should Ken Hall on
still
Steve
alive.
Jones.
Sugarland
show.
Sugarland man.
What is he, 87 years old?
Okay. Mike, you have won a record that is as dubious as can be. You have held the longest to be on WKOK. Congratulations.
Well, I'm not sitting on my... I'm not sitting on my butt waiting to talk. I'm out here working in the yard and doing some gardening.
I know what you're doing.
So it's not a waste of time.
You're helping the environment.
You're darn right I am. I'm augmenting the soil, putting things in the ground that suck up greenhouse gases, and I'm doing my part.
Beautiful.
Hey, I just want to say I'm a little bit offended by what's going on in the southern border right now. I brought 3 children into this country from foreign countries, one of which was a communist country, and I had to prove to the United States government that I could house them, give them medical care, feed them, and insure them before I could get a passport for them. And how we can have a border that's basically porous, that's one thing. How we got here is another. In my mind, this is a concerted effort to overwhelm the social systems of the United States. Cindy was on, and I just absolutely love her calls. And she says, the government will pay for it. The government won't pay for anything. The people that live in America that work and produce are the ones that give the government their money. The government doesn't make money. They take money. And so that's the point. We are going to face tremendous burden on society. Now, I could be all wrong. I could be all wrong about this. But if you just look at all of the variables that are involved when bringing in so many people at one time that don't speak English, many of which, as Cindy said, will be relying on the federal government or the American taxpayers for most of the things that they need directly. And I'm not even talking about incidentally. The incidental charges, the things, the secondary charges like interpreters for their children and interpreters for people that are in the legal system. That all costs money. Interpreters at the hospitals when people that don't speak English come in with medical issues and they can't describe to the doctor if there's no doctor on the floor or whatever that speaks Spanish or whatever. Now, granted, we have a great country. The girl down the street from where I live right now, she is going to college in another state to become a nurse that speaks Spanish. She already has a background in Spanish, but she's going to get her training in Spanish and English so that she can serve a lot more people that way. So we are a responsive country. Now, those are the points I'd like to make. And the last thing I'm going to say is what I believe to be the case. Well, these people from over 100 people that are coming into this country from all over the world, many of them have saved money, like mentioned, and I just love what's his name, John Muser?
Dan Muser,
yeah. I think it would be a lot better if it was Senator Muser, to be perfectly honest with you.
I'm sure he'd take that promotion.
How about President Muser? He thought about it.
He'd take the promotion. Governor Muser.
All right, we got you, Mike.
Okay, hey, could I just say one last thing, please?
Of course.
I do believe that many of these support systems throughout South and Latin America and Mexico are being funded by the enemies of the United States.
No, very much so. Very much so.
Absolutely.
And look at the NGOs. Look at the NGOs and the Catholic charities and these people who think they're doing well. They're enabling people.
All right, go ahead, Mike. Finish up.
Okay. The last thing I want to say is we have many people on the left that, you know, we have to give these people a home. We have to give these people a home. Well, I can tell you what. The people in the foreign countries that are totalitarian dictators, they are laughing at the United States right now. They are laughing at us. I guarantee it.
All right,
they can't believe their fortune.
Well,
hey,
it's not,
have a great day.
Yeah, we're not exactly a well-oiled machine here. All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Well,
very
like
much appreciated. Thanks for your patience, and I'm glad you got your viewpoints across.
You know, Fidel Castro, Muriel Boatlift, when he said, okay, all the prisoners and all the mental health people, you guys get in these boats and go to the United States. And Jimmy Carter said, we'll welcome you.
Oh, okay. Muriel Boatlift. Didn't I see her in a movie or something? All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to read our texts and emails, and I'm going to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company when we come back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Looks good.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. LB Water has a ribbon cutting next week. Are you going to hold one end of the ribbon?
Maybe I will.
That gorgeous office building down there, home to about 60 employees or so, but the company has 200-plus employees, all of whom are owners of the company. So good for you guys. Growth. Good for you. Hey, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury is one location. Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out more at sunburymotors.com.
You drive a car, you go test drive a car and you buy it, you get a coupon for a dinner or lunch at Penn's Tavern or the Sunbury Sub Shop.
All right. Anyway, cannot beat that.
No, and you know what? They might even give you two dinners and get two subs.
I got
subs.
Two.
Get two subs at the sub shop.
If I wash the trucks they loan me back clean, they give me another one. So I now have two of them.
You have a lunch or a dinner, or you can have a Cosmo or a regular hoagie.
Don't get me started.
I think last Friday was National
Cosmo
Hoagie Day.
Right. So. But they got the Quick Lane down on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They'd love to super serve you there. They got a towing service, rollback. You name it, they got everything you need. You could just build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications. They've actually had some Kia Tellurides pop in. They don't last long in the lots. It's one of the top 10 vehicles in the country, the Kia Tellurides. So they would just love to super serve you with one of those. SunburyMotors.com. Alphonse, Jason, Chris, Jeff, Ernie, Austin, Tony. Mm-hmm. Tom and Ben, who's giving out the coupons down in the lobby. So.
More than happy. Like I said, test drive it, buy it, you
super
get food.
It. They'll do that. Okay. Yeah, that kills our time. One of our listeners says comprehensive immigration reform is a code word for amnesty.
Yes,
import millions of illegals, give them amnesty, and then in a few years,
very
citizenship.
Much.
That's the
very
shtick.
Much. Big weekend, good weather. I know it will be a little solemn day for you on Sunday, but happy Mother's Day to all the folks that are out there. And mothers, enjoy and celebrate. And if your mother is not here, think about her.
Salute to Rob Sanner. Put in 5 hours taking good care of us today. So we appreciate that. You're listening to WKOK Sunbury.